Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 148, verses 11 through 14. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Continue reading in the scriptures this morning from Ecclesiastes 11, beginning at verse 7 through the end of chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7 through the end of chapter 12. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fierce shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May God bless the reading of his holy and infallible word. Beloved, our text for this morning is Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9 through chapter 12, verse 7, but I just want to read the first phrase of chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I'm sure, young people, you've heard this expression, YOLO. You live in a world of short forms and acronyms. Y-O-L-O. You know what it stands for, don't you? You only live once. YOLO. Maybe you've seen it on a Twitter feed. your Facebook newsfeed, text message, whatever platform you use. Maybe it's the reinforcement of a friend to entice you to come and do something. Come on, man, you only live once. YOLO, right there. The world uses this phrase and attaches it to temptations to get you to follow. You only live once. Come on, partake of this pleasure. Just try this experience. You only live once after all. Imagine if you missed out on this experience. That's what this phrase is saying. But did you know that the Bible also uses this expression? Maybe not exactly that way, but certainly the sense of it. The Bible calls young people this morning to the fact that you only live once. And it matters how you live. You have one life. You have one life not to pursue worldly pleasure and the desires of your own heart, but one life to pursue God and to live for God. One opportunity, one season in this world before eternity comes. You only live once. That's the wisdom that Solomon provides for young people this morning from Ecclesiastes 11 and 12. It's that wisdom that we want to consider this morning under the theme, you only live once. First of all, we want to see the rejoicing of the time of youth. And then secondly, the remembrance that young people are called to this morning. And as we focus on young people, I pray that this message would have an effect on all of us to set eternity before our eyes so that we would all remember our Creator. Well, Solomon provides lessons from his own life in this pursuit of pleasure. Several weeks ago, we considered what it was to pursue pleasure. The confessions that Solomon made in Ecclesiastes 2 and all the things that he had tried and how he found them all to be wanting because God was not at the center of his life. In a sense, we return to that theme. He provides wisdom gleaned from his own life lived under the sun without God. Life without God under the sun is vanity, it's empty, it's meaningless. In verses 9 through 10, he takes then that expression, as it were, you only live once, and he applies it to young people. He knows the draw of the world. He's experienced that himself. He's experienced all the pleasures of the world. He's done it all. He knows the particular time of being a young person, the time of the youthful years. He says in verse 9, rejoice, O young man, or we can say young woman this morning as well. Rejoice in thy youth and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Rejoice. What does Solomon mean here? He means to take joy, to pursue pleasure. That's what he means. But it doesn't mean it as a license to go and sin, to live your best life now, to live with no thought of God at all. Solomon is setting up an irony here. He's setting up an irony here. There is pleasure in life, that much is true. But Solomon is not condoning a life of reckless pleasure. He's not saying, just go ahead and live it up because you're young and you only live once anyway. No, it's an irony, a warning, really. He knows that the young age, the age of being a young person, comes with temptations that are particular to youth. He knows the call of the world. He knows the draw of this expression, you only live once. Can you say that you've really lived if you haven't experienced all these pleasures and all these things that the world has to offer? Life without looking back That's what the expression is saying from a worldly perspective. You only live once. Don't look back without regrets. Don't look back and say, I wish I could have lived that way. I wish I would have done this or I would have done that. You know, there's the bucket list. Did you know where that expression comes from, the bucket list? The list of things that you're going to do before you kick the bucket, before you die. That's what it means. The bucket list. You only live once and you have to check off all the boxes on that bucket list. Solomon knows and he relates to that appeal to the senses. He says, rejoice, let your heart bring you cheer, steer your desires where you want them, just follow your heart. That's familiar, isn't it? Follow your feelings, follow your heart, follow your eyes, let your eyes be filled with the things of the world, let your eyes consume pleasure. As Solomon is saying these things, he's drawing a picture for us. He's saying, this is the time of youth. This is the great appeal to young people. Come, you only live once. He's speaking to the reality that young people face on a daily basis. The appeal to pursue pleasure. What does that look like for you this morning, young person? What is our culture preaching to you on a daily basis? How does our culture dress up this appeal to your heart to rejoice and to let your desires rule your life? You only live once, so pursue it all. Think about alcohol for a moment. Drink until you can't drink anymore. Drink until you're drunk. Until you're out of your mind. Can you say you really lived until you've been drunk at least once? Come on, you only live once. Drugs, they're not so bad. Can you say that you've really lived unless you've smoked up and you've had a high? You only live once. Why don't you try it? Sex. You go to church. You believe in the biblical definition of sexuality. Come on, man, you only live once. Throw off that traditional upbringing. Test it out. Express yourself. Explore what makes you feel comfortable and makes you feel you. You know, pursue the pleasure of porn without the consequences, an emotional entanglement of a relationship. How do you know who you are without sexual experimentation? You only live once after all. If you commit to marriage when you're young, you won't know all the things. You only live once. There's the whole area of education, the intellectual pursuits, the college campus. But it's not confined to the college campus, is it? It's in the workplace too. Open your mind to the philosophies of this age. There are many ways to God, aren't there? Who says that you're right? Who says that the Bible is right? Can you really rely on this book that claims to be 6,000 years old? You know, if you're not woke, you're going to be canceled. You only live once. Come on, follow us. That's how the world presents to you on a daily basis. Not just subtly anymore, but overtly, in your face. In your face. Our culture and its godless ideas pressure you to rejoice in your youth, to throw off all shackles and live with reckless abandon and to cross over into sin. But that's not what Solomon is counseling you to do this morning. Notice what he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But here's the other part of that irony. You can live this way, but know this, that the Lord will bring you into judgment for all the things that you've done. You only live once. Don't waste your life. An important qualifier that Solomon introduces here, but, which tells us that Solomon is not promoting sin, but he's prohibiting sin. He's preventing sin for young people. He's painting the picture. This is the time of youth. This is the temptation of youth. But know this, that God will bring you into judgment if you're living this way, if you're throwing everything off, if there's no thought of God, if there's no thought of eternity at all. You see, what Solomon is setting before you, young person, this morning is the pursuit of rejoicing. So often you think of pursuing pleasure without the pain of pleasure behind it, the end game of pleasure. The end game of pleasure is death without God. Scripture is pressing home something important this morning for you. Rejoice in your youth, pursue pleasure, but know that for whatever you do in this life, God will bring you into judgment. There's pain behind the pleasure that the world offers. Yes, you only live once. But that's not an excuse to live with reckless abandon. Rather than using that phrase as an excuse, let us use it this morning as a motivator to bring us to God alone, who has a claim on you, who has stamped his name on your forehead at baptism, who claims you as his own. He calls you to live for him in your youth. And he warned you this morning there's judgment behind the supposed joy that you might expect to glean from sin. You will have to reckon with God. You pursue pleasure without thinking about God or eternity. What Solomon says here is to warn you away from that life of reckless pleasure, of following your heart's desire, of having your behavior driven by what you see and can experience. It's a powerful warning this morning to prevent you from going the route of sin. A powerful call this morning to repentance for those who are living this way. I hope you're not. But if you are, the Word of God calls you to repent and to turn to God. Judgment will loom for a life of reckless pleasure. It might not be immediately apparent. After all, young people are invincible, aren't they? That's what we like to think when we're young. We like to think that we're invincible. Solomon thought he was. I thought I was. But we're not invincible. Learn from those who've come before you. Learn from the cleansing and honest truth of Scripture this morning. Such a life is not worth living. It's not worth living. Maybe you say this morning, well, Pastor, you're being a killjoy. What fun is there then to being a young person if we can't pursue pleasure? The reality is this. The enjoyment of life without God is hell. The enjoyment of life without God is hell. Think about that for a moment. if you're not living life with God at the center, how is that any different than hell? If hell is the total consumption of pleasure and pain all wrapped up into one without God's favorable presence, if you die in the pursuit of pleasure, saying, I only live once, it won't be that much different than the hell that you'll face for eternity. It's serious. It's serious business, life is. Can you say right now that the way you're living right now is a life with God, a life approving to God? What Solomon is saying here is intended to get you to think beyond the here and now, to think about eternity, to know that your actions now will reap consequences in the future and in the coming judgment of God if they're not repented of. Rejoice in your youth, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Think about where you're headed this morning and receive this warning coming to you by the grace of God. Sometimes we don't like warnings. We try to push them away. But warnings are intended to bring you to the place of safety. It's true here as well this morning. What should you do then? Listen to what Solomon says. He says, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. What he means here is to remove anxiety or the vexation of a life without God. It means to seek God right here, right now. It means to have your heart lined up so that you live with God at the center of your life. Put all that stuff away that's going to bring vexation, that's going to induce the vanity, the meaninglessness of life without God. Solomon says to put away pain from your body. He means to take advantage of the years of youth when you are strong, not to live for yourself, but to live for the Lord. He's saying spend your best energies for God, not the pleasures of this world, that if taken to their logical end, will end in hell and condemnation and eternal pain. Pursue pleasure, but with God as the bullseye of that pleasure, because you were created to glorify and enjoy God forever. God is the greatest pleasure you could ever know. When God is the greatest pleasure that you could ever know, then the pleasures of this world will be kept within the framework of God's law, and you can enjoy those pleasures. Go back to the sermon that I preached several weeks ago about the pursuit of pleasure. But the point is this: the time of youth without God is empty and meaningless. The world says you only live once, so live for the experience of pleasure. God's word says to you this morning, you only live once, so live with God as the focus of your pleasure. Young man, young woman, guard your heart, guard your mind, guard your life, because you only have one. And life is short, and eternity is long. Take the best years of your life and commit them to Christ and to his service. Rejoice in your youth. Yes. Rejoice in God. That's where Solomon brings us in our second point, the remembrance. In chapter 12, verse 1, Solomon says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. What does it mean to remember? If you want to remember something, what do you have to do? You have to consciously and willfully look back in the memory banks. You have to think about an event that happened. You have to think about the details. You have to call to mind willfully with determination so you can remember what it is that you're trying to remember or being asked to remember. To remember here in this context means a conscious, willful determination to think about something. I got that definition from the notes in the study Bible here. It's a helpful definition. A conscious, willful determination to think about something. So let's drop the word remember. And hear and listen what Solomon is telling you to do as young people. In the days of your youth, you need to consciously and willfully determine to think about your Creator now. With everything that comes against you, this is a helpful corrective. A helpful word to get you to think consciously and willfully about God. The time of youth is a time of inherent selfishness. I'm sure you don't want to hear that this morning, but it's true. Young people tend to think only about themselves. Of course, that's not the case for everyone. I don't want to overgeneralize, but generally that's true for young people. You're only thinking about yourself. You're only thinking about what you can experience and the pleasure that you can get from life. But God here now says you need to consciously, willfully determine to think about me. To remember your Creator, the God who made you, to push back all that pressure that comes against you, to think about yourself, to pursue pleasure, and to think about God. You're to remember the God who made you, to the God who gave you life, the God who created the world around you. The God who created the pleasures and the gifts and the blessings of this world. In the midst of that youthful selfishness, so often we think that God is the cosmic killjoy and the thief of pleasure who wants to spoil your life. But listen to the wisdom of Solomon. God created you. Remember your Creator. Think about Him. When the pressure mounts on your mind and heart to think about the things that will numb you to the realities of God and of eternity, you are to push that away, to willfully, to bend your will and your mind to think about God. That's not Arminianism. That's a command from Scripture. To do what God tells you to do, and it brings you back to the grace of God to do exactly what He calls you to do. It exposes your weakness, it exposes your need of God. Exposes the spiritual need of your own soul. Remember your Creator. Exposes how weak you are to actually do this thing that is actually impossible to do on your own. And it brings you back to the One who has made you. To the One who is willing to redeem you if He has not already. You say, what's the point of thinking about God? Well, let me put it in the negative this morning. What are the consequences of not doing this? What happens when we don't think about God? What happens when we suppress the truth about God and we pursue life for what it has to give without God at the center? To know that, we need to turn to Romans 1, 18 through 25. Those who suppress the truth of God and willfully think about other things will be forced to reckon with the judgment of God. Paul reinforces the wisdom of Ecclesiastes 12. Those who suppress the truth of God and willfully think about other things will be forced to reckon with God's judgment. Those who worship the creature more than the Creator will face the sad reward for what they think about. Suppression of the truth leads God to give over to a reprobate mind so that all you pursue is pleasure and only pleasure without God. It matters what you think about. It matters what you think about. What are you thinking about this morning then? As young people, as older people? Young people, what filled your mind as you came to church this morning? There's all kinds of distractions, aren't there? But did you consciously and willfully think about coming to worship your Creator? Is that the default setting of your mind? The default for the desires of your heart? The default focus of your eyes? Or did you let it wander in your default setting of what you want and of what you desire, of what you've experienced this past week and what you hope to experience this week? You let it coast. Let it be drawn away from Scripture. You let it be drawn away from God. Notice what our text says. Remember now. That's not tomorrow. That's not an hour from now. It's right this minute. Scripture comes with the authority to command us to remember God now. Don't put off this remembrance. In essence, Solomon is saying here, you only live once. Remember God now. Don't live for the world, but live for God now. This call to remember now is a call to repentance, to turn right now, immediately, to God, to the God who made you, to the God who claims you as His own. To turn your mind away from the pleasures of this world, to fill your mind with God, to respond to this message by fleeing to Christ, who alone is righteousness for those who shelter in Him. Don't delay this remembrance. Don't make excuses for lack of remembering God, but confess the fact that you so often don't remember God. That so often you fill your mind with these youthful things, with these youthful temptations. Let me say to you that the time of youth is the best time of life. You have strength. You have energy. You have a clear mind. You have zeal. As parents, we sometimes wonder where our children get the energy from. They work hard all day. They spend all their energy, and yet when night comes around, they have energy to do some more. We're ready to turn it in. The time of youth is a time of strength and energy and zeal and clarity of mind. Take all of that this morning, young person, and with determination, remember God now. Set the patterns of your mind now. Pursue the habits of grace now, lest patterns of sin overtake your mind and heart. And as you grow older, you look back and you say, if only I could have done life differently. How many of us as older people don't live with such regrets? The psalmist did. He said, Lord, remember not the sins of youth. We think about a particular sin that we committed and we're filled with regret and guilt and shame. We say, if only I could have done things differently, I wouldn't have done that. If I knew back then what I know now, I wouldn't have done it. So young people, learn from those who are older from you, who tell you those things. So you can willfully and consciously determine to think about God. Why? Why is the emphasis on the now? Why is there such a hurry to remember God now? Well, Solomon says there are days and seasons coming that will seriously affect how you think about God. If you put off remembering God and thinking about God and thinking about eternity until old age, you may never have the opportunity again. Why? Because old age is a period of decline. Physical decline, cognitive and mental decline, and death. I don't mean to disparage old age, but just as Solomon set the reality of the temptations that young people face, so he sets before us the realities, the harsh realities of old age. To spur on young people to seek God now, to find God now, to live for God now, to think about God, to consciously put Him at the forefront of your life and every decision that you make, every desire that you pursue, every thought that you think. This is the reason why you are to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Solomon builds a contrast here to emphasize the urgency of knowing God when you're young. The time of youth is the time now that God has given you to remember Him. Not tomorrow, not 5 years from now, not when you're done college, not when you're married, not when you have a family. We're good procrastinators, aren't we? We try to put things off until later. Don't be a spiritual procrastinator, young person. It might work on a college exam to wait until the night before to cram, but not when it comes to eternity, not when it comes to spiritual matters. Procrastination is a bad thing when it comes to spiritual matters. You only live once. It matters how you live that life now. It matters what you do with the gospel now. It matters how you handle the knowledge of God that you have now in the days of your youth. It matters what you do with the heritage that you have received from your parents and your church and your school. You only live once. You only live once. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There will come a time when youthful energy fades. Zeal will languish and grow cold. Strength will give way to weakness. Mental sharpness gives way to memory loss. Isn't that a coincidence? The time of old age is a time of memory loss when you can't call to mind the things that you want to call to mind. When you can no longer willfully and consciously determine to think about particular things. And if that's true of things of normal life, why is that not true about the things of God? When you visit elderly people in a nursing home that have lost their memory, you receive a blank stare. They can no longer think about the things they once did. The last vestige of memory is perhaps through a song that they remember. This is the vivid picture that Solomon paints for young people this morning, for you. So you get to understand the urgency with which you need Christ now. Notice what he says in verse 1, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The time is coming when you will look at your life and you will not have pleasure in your life anymore. This is the fact of old age. The golden years are really not that golden after all. Life under the sun will lose its pleasure. Conclude your spiritual state before God this morning, before the conclusion of life sets in, and you will be unable to do so. Before the evil days, when you say, I have no pleasure in life anymore. Remember now your Creator before the lights of nature are obscured by clouded vision. The metaphor Solomon gives in verse 2, remember your Creator, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. When your vision is bright, when your mind is bright, when your strength is strong, before failing vision sets in. Remember your Creator while you can read the Word and read good books and see where you're going and what you're doing. Use your vision now to put God at the forefront of your life before your eyesight fails and you can't see anything at all. And you look back on a life of pleasure and you say, I wish I had read the Word of God. I wish I wouldn't have buried it under my bed. My friend, you only live once. Remember God before your vision fails. It comes soon enough. When I was 25, I didn't need glasses. I'm 40 now, and I need glasses. My last checkup, the doctor said to me, "You know, you've reached that age." She didn't want to say 40. "Can you read close by?" I still can, thankfully. That's the reality. Your eyes begin to fail. Use your eyes to read the Word, to respond to the Word. Remember now your Creator before your strength fails. Verse 3, "In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few. Those that look out of the windows be darkened." It's a metaphor for the weakness of old age. Before your hands begin to tremble, before your back bows over with pain and you can't stand up straight anymore, before you have gaps in the teeth that can't chew anymore, the failure of the eyes to see clearly out the window. All of these things that Solomon is writing about are metaphors for the failing strength of old age. Now is the time to remember your Creator, to put Him at the center of your life. Use your strong limbs. Use your steady hands, use your upright posture, use your teeth, use your eyes to remember your Creator and the gifts that He's given you. Everything that you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or whether you drink or whether you work, do all to the glory of God. That is the wisdom of the Word of God. Seek God now. You only live once. You only live once. Think about God. Remember your Creator before your hearing fails. Verse 4, "The doors be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. It shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low." It's a metaphor for loss of hearing. The unsettledness of old age. It's a paradox, isn't it? Old age. You can't hear. And yet when you're sleeping, the slightest disturbance wakes you up and you are awake with the birds. I've witnessed my neighbor in his 80s. If you ever need anything, just call me. It doesn't matter what time. Oh, I'll call you at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's okay, I'm up already. Make a coffee and watch the news and I might go back to bed, but I'm usually can't sleep beyond that. A sense of insecurity, a sense of unsettledness, a concern for this life, just in order to survive. It's absent from the life of youth. But it's an impetus, it's an encouragement for you to seek God now, before that time sets in, before that unsettledness, before the time that you can't hear anymore. You hear with difficulty. Use your ears to listen to God. Glorify Him before the worries and cares of old age set in. You only live once. Don't grow old and lose your hearing and say, if only I had listened better to the sermons I heard when I was young, I'd probably be a more vibrant Christian, or I would have listened differently, or would have repented long ago. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. You only live once, my friend. Just once. There'll be no redos. There'll be no mulligans. In verse 5, there's a further sense of insecurity implied in old age. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, the almond tree shall flourish, the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goes to his long home, the mourners go about the streets. The reality is that in old age, life declines. There's the fear of heights, the fear of falling, the fear of setting foot outside the home. Just recently, I was on a visit to an elderly couple. They're afraid of driving on the highway, of coming to church, even during the daytime. It's a time of fear. The almond blossom is a metaphor for the whitening of the hair, the failing of desire, of the vigor of men and women, desire for life, decline of old age. The destination of eternity looms large. Remember now your Creator. Before the fear of falling and the fear of going out and the fear of white hair and desire overall begins to decline and you don't have what you used to have. And everything becomes crowded out because of the cares of life and the decline of old age, remember now your Creator, my friend, before you can't anymore. You only live once. If you still think that you can wait till you're old, Solomon leaves us with no uncertainty of death that the elderly will face. Verse 6 and 7. Metaphors for the end of life. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, that which sustains life, that which is valuable, ebbs away or is broken, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The end is coming. That should spur you on to seek God, to remember God, to think about God. Death is imminent for the elderly. It will surely come and not tarry. You know that. For those who are elderly this morning, you feel it coming. You sense it coming. If you have God at the center of your life from a young age, you are secure. You are good. As we heard two Sundays ago. But young people, are you ready for that period of life? That period of life where death is close, where you know it's closer than when it is when you're a young person, though we know it comes for young people too. Just reemphasizes the need for you to think about God. Not just to think about Him, but to let your thinking produce right living for God. Are you ready for death? Even now? You only live once, you know. You only live once. How will that one life that you're living now determine where you will be after death? That's the most important question you'll consider this morning. Where will you be after death? You have one life to live. This last statement brings God into the picture again. The Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Brings us right back to our Creator, the one who is sovereign from the moment of conception to the moment of death. He stands over your life this morning and He calls you to consider who He is. Brings you full circle to God. That's the whole point of this passage. It's the whole point of this message. To get you to reckon with eternity, to put God at the center of your lives through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. We met him this morning as judge. We met him this morning as the creator. All this to say is that you need him as your redeemer. That's where wisdom brings you, doesn't it? This is the voice of wisdom. It's not the voice of Solomon. It's not my voice. It's the voice of Christ himself calling you to think about him, to turn to him, to embrace him with faith and fear and the joy of knowing God in Christ. This morning, you hear these words. You only live once. And it's not your friend's Twitter feed. It's not a text message from a friend who wants you to do something against God's word. But it's God himself saying to you this morning, you only live once. And it's only the life that is lived for me that counts. So how will you live out this phrase? You only live once. Will you live it for yourself? Or will you remember your Creator now in the days of your youth? Amen. Father in heaven, we come before thee. We pray, Lord, that this message would have a rich harvest of souls. Thou art sovereign. But we know that thou dost use thy word to convict, to bring to repentance and faith. So, Lord, we plead with thee that thou wilt do that. For thy name's sake, that whether young or old, this message would ring true and come with power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. We leave it now in thy hands, O God. Go with us in the rest of this day. Bless the catechism, confession of faith, and family living class now, that it would complement what we've heard and what we will hear again today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.